I don't know that I've ever preached this message here or preached on this subject here, but I really hope that you will grasp the needfulness of this and the reality of this, and especially you young people. And when I say young people, I just want to say young people. I just say all of us, but it will really help you as a young person if you realize this in your life. And let's look in verse number 38 of Luke chapter number 10. Did I say 11? What did I say? We're in chapter 10. I'm sorry, 11's at the top of the page there. But we're in Luke chapter number 10. And I want to share some things with you. And we're going to read that. Then we'll go with the Lord in prayer. You pray for us this evening. Pray that God would help us. And, man, I'm glad to be in the house of God today. I'm glad He allowed us to come. Amen. I'm glad He let the snow melt. And I'm glad I got Jesus. And how could I want more? Amen. This evening. And God sure has been good and faithful to us around here at the church. And I don't want to get forgetful. Amen. I was reading Isaiah this morning, and I was going to preach on Isaiah chapter 1 there, and preach on there about verse number 16, but he was talking about there in Isaiah this morning about how that they had forgotten the Lord. And he talked there about the ox knoweth his master, his owner, and his master's crib. He said, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. And I thought, oh, how often we forget how good God's been to us in our life and how inconsiderate we become in our lives. And, you know, but I'm glad, and I stand before you today and tonight and tell you I'm glad that I'm saved, and I'm thankful for what God's been doing in the hearts and lives of people around here and what God's doing in my heart. I know that we're all facing struggles and trials and tribulations, but as I was reminded as I pulled up the driveway, as I preached last Sunday, I believe, our sufferings are short, amen. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. That don't always make it easier, but if we'll learn some things and we'll know some things, we can make it through here on this side. And there is a brighter day a coming, amen? And there's a brighter day a coming. But let's read tonight, and until we get there, until that day does come, just as that snow came in just a moment yesterday, you do realize the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Amen? It could happen right now. You say, what would you say to that? I'd say, hallelujah, let's go. Amen? But let's read verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of the snow that you sent our way. But, Lord, I'm thankful, God, that you allowed it to leave. Lord, to be in the house of God tonight. Lord, you know my physical ailments, God. Lord, I'm not trying to hide anything from you. Lord, I pray that, God, that you'd touch me physically. God, I pray you'd use me. I pray that, God, that you would help us tonight. Lord, I give myself, God, to be used by you. Lord, I pray that my speaking and my preaching would not be as enticing words of man's wisdom, but, God, in the demonstration of spirit and of power, Lord, I love you, and Father, I thank you, Lord, for loving me. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know, the Bible says, a thief cometh not but steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. As we look at the life of Mary tonight, we'll see that Mary lived an abundant life. Now, I'm going to understand this. This is Mary, Lazarus' sister. This is Mary that's always found at the feet of Jesus. And we're going to bring out a little more about her. But the Bible says here about Mary that she's chosen something. And I'm going to challenge you tonight, and I'm going to challenge myself also, that and remind us that there's something that you and I ought to choose every day of our life. Now, I'm not talking about serving the Lord. Remember, they came to Joshua, and Joshua came to the people, and he said, choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm not talking about that choice. That is a choice that we make every day of our life. And especially you young people, as you're going walking up and down the halls of the school, and you're surrounded by your friends, it's a choice that you make. Do you understand and realize that God has put you there as a light in that school to be a witness? not to be influenced by others, but for you to have influence upon them and that they might get saved. You think, well, man, I don't want to lose my friendship. I don't want to lose my relationship. Well, I want you to think about it this way. Those people are dying going to hell without God. And I'm not talking about just about choosing in service, and we're going to look at service here. But I want to show some things to you in this passage of Scripture. In the day of fast-paced life that we live, and the fast-paced ministries, we see people burning out all the time and giving up. How many people do you know that you started with that they just quit, or they got, how many family members started out and they got burnt out and they're sitting by the wayside? They're no, house of God's not important no more. The things of God's not important. What happened? They got burnt out. They gave up. See, we need to be reminded of the benefits of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Are you listening? The benefits of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, I want to say to you today, we don't need more money. We don't need more time. We don't need more material things. We just need more Jesus. I mean, we just need more of Jesus in our life. But the thing about it is, Mary here has made a choice, and sanctuary time, and that's what I'm going to preach on tonight, the sanctuary time in your life as a child of God has a way of keeping things in perspective. You spending time at the feet of Jesus, or sanctuary time, that place where you come apart, has more importance and more value in your life than you will ever know, and it will help you to keep things in perspective in this life. We're going to look here at this family. Now we know this. We know that Lazarus, this is the same family that Lazarus was in, that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, man, God had blessed this family. And now, understand this. This is Mary and Martha. And we'll find that Mary, that they were acquainted with the Lord. And we find that this was a time in their life that the Lord had came to them. And I was, as I read that, and I was reminded there of how that she received him into her house. And how that the Lord wanted to go. I was also reminded over there in the land of Sodom where the two angels said, no, we'd rather spend our time out here in the street with the homosexuals and the perverts than come into your house because it's so wicked. Y'all remember that? I mean, the two angels came to Lot to warn him, and Lot said, oh, come on in. They said, no, we'll take our chance out here at the homosexual and the perverts and all this rampage of sin in the streets. We don't want to go into your house because it's too wicked. Man, may our houses not be so wicked that the Lord don't want to come in. But Martha here received Jesus into her house. She had opened it up to us. And now let's not be too harsh on Martha. Sometimes we as men, we look at things in a different perspective. But let's not be too harsh on Martha. I mean, man, the Lord was coming to her house and she wanted everything to be right. Amen? I mean, Dr. Williams, I thank God for Dr. Williams and Miss Pat, and they opened up their home for us to come up there at sunrise service. Man, what a beautiful time it had. But poor old Miss Pat, she worked dark today trying to get everything just right. Amen? Why? Because she wants it to be right when the guest comes. And Martha was not wrong in wanting everything to be perfect when the Lord came into her house. The Bible says there that she invited Him and they received Him into her house. You see, as you go back and you study Luke chapter 10 and chapter 9 and chapter 10, the Lord has just taught about two different things. In chapter number 10, He's just taught us about service. He's taught us there about service. He has taught us about going out. Remember him. He sent them out two by two. And then as you get down there toward the end, he begins to teach about separation. And then he begins to teach again about service. And two things that he's taught about in this chapter before here is service and separation. And may I say unto you that it's two things that we all ought to have in our life is service unto the Lord, but also separated unto some things. But I want to say this to you. You can have service all day long and you can be separated from everything in this world. And if you don't have the sanctuary time, you're missing the mark. Jesus said this at the end of this chapter. He said there's one thing that is needful. One thing. Now, I mean, think about that just for a moment. He looked at this woman and he said, there's one thing that is needful and Mary hath chosen it. Mary hath chosen it. And now I want to say this again. Service to God is good. Moreover, is required in his stewards that a man be found faithful. Separation is good. Separation is important. The Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among ye and them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." But understand this, it's not what we're separated from, it's who we're separated to. And the more separated you get to the Lord, the less you want to be like the world. Amen? But understand this, he didn't say that's what was needful. Remember, he sent them out two by two. Look in chapter 10, verse number 1. And sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whithersoever he would come. And he sent out and he said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord would send forth laborers into the harvest." You see the service there? I mean, but he got there to the end of the chapter and he said, "Now, of all this that I've told you," and you can read him at the end of the chapter, we find the Good Samaritan, and he's talking about how the Good Samaritan there takes care there of that one that was the certain man there that was cast down and fell among the thieves, and the man came in and served him and took care of him and brought him again and paid for it all. But then he gets here to the end of the chapter and he said, "There's still one thing that's needful. There's one thing in your life that's needful. One thing. Let me say this to you. I think you ought to come to the house of God. The Bible says, 'Forsake not the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, so much the more as you see the day approaching.' I believe if you join the church, you ought to be faithful to the church. Amen? That's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's choir practice. That's visitation. That's fellowship. That's work day. That's Sunday school cleanup. That's Valentine's banquet, whatever the church has. I believe if you're a member, you ought to be there. Amen? What I believe. But understand this. That ain't what he said what he's doing here. He said there's one thing that's needful in your life. One thing. We must understand the Bible's just give us lessons, but he said there's one thing. Notice here, and let's look at Martha just for a moment. The Bible says here, "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving." The word cumber means to distract or to hinder. To distract or to hinder. Have you ever noticed how when we begin to serve the Lord, how that if we're not careful, we get so busy about serving the Lord and we get so busy about things that it becomes a distraction to us? We get distracted because we get cumbered about with much service, and it seems like the harder we try to do things for the Lord and the more we want to do for the Lord, the more distractions come into our life. You see, we get cumbered about, we get distracted. And understand this, that distracted, this was done by much service. Now, I may say this to you. Now, the other side of this coin is, some people need to get busy serving. Amen? Some people get distracted by serving. Some people, they get so distracted by us doing this and doing this, and we need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do that. And man, we live in a busy-paced life. I was thinking about Brother Bobby. I talked to him last night, and he went out and he said he fed the cows yesterday, and he came back in, and I was thinking about this today, and no reflection of Brother Bobby in any way, but I was thinking about Brother Bobby's just retired, and I bet Brother Bobby's got a greater list of things to do now than he did before he retired. Yeah. He gets cumbered about much serving. I mean, it seems like the older we get, it seems like the more stuff we have to do. And then we get so distracted by it that we can't get nothing accomplished, and at the end of the day we're just like, "What did I do today?" Anybody else feel that way? Man, I do. I get distracted and cumbered about much stuff because, well, listen, I feel like I have to perform. I feel like that I need to do this, and I feel like I need to do that, and I feel like I need to be this kind of person, and I feel like I need to take care of this situation, and I need to take care of this situation, and I need to provide for my family, and I need to be a husband, and I need to be a wife, a daddy, and I need to be a pastor, and I need to be a friend, and I need to be this, and man, I'm just overwhelmed, and I get cumbered about with much serving. But my problem is, it's because I forget who I'm serving. Are you listening to me? We forget who we're serving. Notice this, what are some things about being cumbered about much service? What's some dangers here? Well, let's look here in verse 40. The Bible said that Martha was cumbered about much service. She came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" Can y'all hear a critical spirit in that? Lord, I'm doing everything I can. And Brother Green, he ain't doing nothing. I'm doing all I can, Lord. Lord, do you not care that I serve alone? Lord, do you not care that I'm doing this, Lord? Do you not care that I'm trying my best to prepare a meal for you? I cleaned the house all day because I heard you was coming. I wanted it to be right for you. I wanted it to be the best that it was. I wanted to impress you, not with the fact of being filled with pride, but I wanted it to be good for you. I wanted you to be able to be comfortable, and I wanted to have a good meal for you. And but Mary's over here, and Lord, I'm serving alone, and Mary ain't doing nothing. Mary ain't doing nothing. What about Mary? See, this is not just happening in our spiritual life. This happens in our physical life. Have you ever noticed how when you get distracted by much serving and you forget why you're serving and who you're serving, how you get critical about your coworkers, or your siblings, or your spouse? You may not be like Martha and say, Lord, do you not care that I serve alone vocally? But I guarantee you, you're feeling it in your heart. You're like, man, I'm doing all this by myself. What are they doing? Why can't they help? Lord, do you not care I'm serving alone? I just don't know why. I just don't understand why they can't help. I don't understand why they can't take part. I don't understand why. It's real simple. You know what happened? She got critical in her cumberness. She's cumbered about with much serving. She forgot that the Lord was at her house. She forgot the one that who she was preparing the meal for. She forgot the one that who she was preparing the house for. And all she could do was complain about somebody else not helping her get the job that she wanted to get done. I mean, she went from being critical to a complainer. Lord, do you not care? What about her? Lord, she's sitting over there at your feet. Not only that, but I want you to notice this. Notice how commanding she became. Look here. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Lord, tell Martha to get up and help me. That's what he said. He said, you tell her. I've asked her and she won't do that. Lord, you tell her. You tell her. I mean, she got commanded. I'm not about when things get out of balance in our life. I'm just talking about if we begin to pick up these attitudes, we might ought to do some checking up. When we get so cumbered about with much serving, we get so distracted, we become critical of others, then we become commanding, saying, well, why don't you help? Why don't you get up? Why don't you do it? I'm just talking about there's one thing that's needful. I'm just litmus test here of whether or not we're choosing that needful thing. Because not only was she cumbered about and distracted, she became critical, she became commanding. This is what's sad right here. She became confused. Because the Lord calls her out on it, and she says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled, anxious and disturbed about many things. Now see, the Lord reveals the truth in this. She's confused. You say, where do you see confusion in here? She was concerned about one, was she not? Her reply to the Lord was, Lord, dost thou not care that I serve alone? Bid her help me. Lord said, Martha, Mary's not your problem. You're careful and disturbed about many things. You're blaming it on Martha, but I just want you to know there's more going on in your heart than Martha sitting over here. And you're careful and you're troubled about many things. And all you can do is you can just relate it to that one that's in your eyesight right now that's distracting you. But just understand this, Martha. That's not your problem. You're careful and troubled about many things. There's a whole lot going on inside of you. that you've not come to grips with. And you ever noticed how when things begin to go on inside of us, and that turmoil and that anxiousness and that disturbing, how that's when we begin to lash out at everybody, right? That's when we begin to lose our concept of what's going on. We lose our focus. We're forgetting why we're serving. We're forgetting why we're doing what we're doing. We're cumbered about. We get distracted. Then we get critical. And then we get command. We get a commanding attitude and a commanding spirit unto the Lord and even to others that are around us. And then, but the fact of the matter is there's confusion in our heart because there's more than one thing that's going on. And the Lord says, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. Don't you notice what he said here? But one thing is needful. I got a question. I want to ask you a question tonight. Now I'm going to try and be super spiritual. I want you to listen to me just a moment. And I don't want you to answer super spiritually. But how needful is your spiritual person tonight? That spiritual man inside of you. How needful is he? Is he needy? Is she needy? What did the Lord say? He said there's one thing that's needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. He says, Martha, you're cumbered about with much serving. You're confused. You're critical. You're distracted. Everything, he said, you've got it all out of balance, Martha. There's one thing that is needful. Now notice what he said. He didn't say that was one thing that was needful for her. There is one thing that was needful for Mary. He said, there's one thing that is needful. One thing that is needful. Notice what he said here. Mary hath chosen that good part. First of all, I want you to see Mary's selection. What do you mean selection? Who chose it? She did. He said, Mary hath chosen that good part. She made a conscious decision and a conscious effort to put herself at the feet of Jesus. He says, there's one thing that's needful, and Mary hath chosen that part. She's made a selection. Martha, you've chosen to invite me into your home. Martha, you've chosen to prepare me a meal. I didn't ask you for these things. You've offered these things to me. And all those things are great. But Martha, I want you to understand, there's one thing in your life that's more needful than you impressing me in your service. And that's the selection that you make. That's the choice that you're making. And Mary hath chosen that good thing. That one thing in your life that is needful. And may I say unto you, child of God, there is one thing in your life after you get saved that's more needful than anything else in this world. And that is for you to be found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more important than eating. It's more important than sleeping. And I'm going to go out on a limb to say this, and I believe this with all of my heart, as I said a while ago. I believe when you join the church, I believe you ought to be at church. Every time the house, the everything. I believe that. I believe every Christian ought to be that way. But I'm going to tell you something that's more important. That one thing that is needful is more important for you in your life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday than it is to be sitting on this pew on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock or Sunday night at 6 o'clock. I really believe that. I believe that's the most important thing in your life as a child of God, is that you find yourself sitting at the feet of Jesus every day. One thing is needful. He didn't say being at the house of God is needful. He didn't say going and witnessing is needful. He didn't say taking care of the Samaritan is needful. He said there's one thing in your life that is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. She's made a selection. She's made a choice. She's made a decision. Now notice this. Why is that part so important? Well, let's look here. Let's notice where Mary finds herself. The Bible says, let's go back, verse 39, and Martha, and she had a sister called Mary, which also done what? Sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. She was... wasn't praising Him. She wasn't singing to Him. She's just listening. She's just sitting. As a student sitting under a master. Not asking questions. Not trying to tell Him how to do things. Not trying to tell Him what He needs to be doing. Not talking about Martha. But He was just sitting there, listening to what the Master had to say. Brother Wesley, why is it that it's so hard for you and I to spend time at the feet of Jesus with our ears open and our mouth shut? Waiting on God just to teach us. One thing is needful. One thing. Not listening to the preacher. Not coming to church. Not listening to gospel music. Not living. Not your separation. Not your soul winning. Not your service to other people. He's talking about all of that in chapter number 10. But when he gets down to the end of this chapter, he said there's one thing that's needful. One thing. She found herself sitting at His feet as a student learning or as a submissive servant. Notice the security that comes with this. We talked about her selection. We're talking about her seat. Notice the security that comes with this. Look at the end of verse number 42. Which shall not be taken away. You see that security? He said, what she's chosen and what she's getting, all the devils in hell can't take it from her. Amen. And he's not talking about salvation. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the instruction. He's talking about the refreshing. He's talking about that intimate time. He said, it shall not be taken away from her. Your husband can't take it from you. Your wife can't take it from you. Your co-worker can't take it from you. Crazy driver in the snow can't take it from you. Nobody. He says she hath chosen that good part, and there's security in what she's chosen, because no one shall be able to take it from her. And if you've ever spent any time alone with the Lord and sit at His feet, you know what it is for Him to speak to you and you to leave that place refreshed and encouraged, and it goes with you. And nobody can take it from you. But we don't think that it's needful. We don't think that it's that important in our life. We're more concerned about how we can serve Him. We're more concerned about how we can serve others. We're more concerned about sending. He said, no. He says, you need to be concerned about sitting. You just need to sit and listen. You need to choose that sanctuary part. That place where you come apart and it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter who's serving on the outside. It doesn't matter who you're sitting with. All that matters is that you have found yourself at the feet of Jesus. Turn to Mark chapter number 14. Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. Wrong verse. But in Mark chapter 14. Look in verse number 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. That value of that was a year's salary. Listen to what the critical people have to say. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for memorial of her. And I believe I can take you through the Word of God, and I can believe I can show you where that is Mary. She took her inheritance, a year's salary. And if you go back and you look, and if you want to, go to Luke. Let's just look at this right quick. Look at Luke chapter number 7. Look at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And they behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bid him saw it, he spake himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Now understand, this was not Mary Magdalene. Because Mary Magdalene does not come on the scene to chapter number 8 and verse number 2. The Bible says, and a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Okay? This was not Mary, but they were in the house of Simon, the Pharisee. Okay? Now just remember that. They're in the house of Simon, a man by the name of Simon. Jesus called his name there at the end. Remember, he said, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. Now go to John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. Here we are in chapter number 12. We're at the first supper that she ate was in Luke chapter 7 and Mark chapter number 14. Okay? Here is the second supper. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment. Remember, first time, she poured out a little bit, did she not? Back in Luke chapter number 7. She poured out on his head. Alright, here the Bible says there that she took a pound of ointment, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was this not ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone against this day of my burying. Has she kept this? Okay? Y'all see that? In Luke chapter 7, he's sitting at the table in a man by the name of Simon the Pharisee's house. He's sitting in Simon's house again, because I'm going to show you in the next chapter right here. This is Simon's house too, okay, that we just read about. Because now let's go back to Mark chapter number 14. And I'm going to read verse number 1 this time, okay? But I'm going to read verse number 1 of John chapter 12, because I'm going to explain something to you. There's three times he's found here. We talked about the first time, all right? Then she poured out a little bit. And then the second time, because notice what the Bible says. Listen to this before you, unless you're in John, you're not going to read like this. Listen to what I'm saying. John 12:1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which was dead, whom he raised from the dead, and they made him a supper. Now listen to this verse, chapter 14, verse number 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover of unleavened bread. You see the difference? 6 days and 2 days. It's two different suppers there. In reality, there's three different suppers. Remember the first time she had supper with him, she poured a little bit out. A pound. I mean, she poured a little bit. The second time, at 6 days before the Passover in the house of Simon, the Bible says that she took a pound of ointment and poured it out upon him. And then when we get to chapter number 14, the last time, 2 days before the feast of the Passover, the Bible says that she broke the box of ointment upon his head. Do you see the progression of something here? The first time, she took a little bit and she poured it out. Just a little. The next time, she took the box, a pound, the Bible says, and she poured a pound out. But the more she sat at his feet, the more she fell in love with him.
Amen.
The more value he became to her, because there was one thing that was needful, and she had chosen that good part, and the very last before he went there to the cross, the Bible says that she took the whole box of money, her whole inheritance,
gave it all,
and she broke the whole box and poured it out on his head. You want to know why she could do that? Because she sat at his feet. You see, that song, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. As we sung the song, I am thine, O Lord, I've heard thy voice, and it shows thy love to me. But alone to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul lift up with a steadfast hope, and thy will, my will, be lost in thine. And then, oh, the depths of joy that I cannot what?
No.
That I cannot know. As before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, and commune as friend with friend. Draw me near, 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 blessed Lord,
amen,
to the cross where thou hast died. You say, what are you saying, preacher? The most important thing you can do in your life as a child of God is find yourself at the feet of Jesus, letting Him speak to you. It's more important than eating. It's more important than sleeping. It's more important than serving. It's more important than sacrifice. He said, there's one thing that's needful in your life, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. You know that we're in spiritual warfare. You know that we're beaten, bruised, and battered every day. We come home licking our wounds. We come home torn. We come home bruised and battered. And we come home depressed and discouraged. And the Lord says, I got the solution for all that. I can give you something that they can't nobody take away. But you know what's saying, Brother Wesley? And this is the honest truth. It's a whole lot easier for me to walk through those doors on Sunday morning. It's a whole lot easier for me to put money in the offering plate. It's a whole lot easier for me to be here at 5:30 for prayer. It's a whole lot easier for me to pick up my Bible and read it 5 minutes and say I've done my daily Bible reading than it is for me to come along and just get at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm here. Teach me. You want to know why? Because God made us His workers, every one of us. The Bible teaches us to work. The Bible teaches us to be busy. How many of you like sitting in the quiet? How many of you just like, nobody does. You've got to be busy. You want to know why? Because when you're sitting there all alone with the Lord and He begins to speak to you, most of the time, we don't like what He has to say. Most of the time, we don't like what He's teaching us. So we get our mind preoccupied and we'll say, well, I'll read my Bible, or I'll sing a song, or I'll pray. Mary hath chosen that good thing which shall never be taken from her. I challenge you, the most important thing in your life is to find yourself in the sanctuary at the feet of Jesus, letting Him teach you about Him. So often, I go to God and I say, Lord, teach me about me. Lord, show me. Teach me, Lord, about me. You know what, Brother Wesley? I've come to the realization, I don't need to know nothing more about me. I need to know more about Him. And the more I know about Him, the less I become. The good thing, the good part, choose it. You have the choice. I have a choice, and it shall not be taken from us. We're standing all over the house. Miss Evelyn's coming.